The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Fasting Prayer 2015, Fasting and Expectations. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I like that word, filled, because we're going to be hungering and thirsting for righteousness, and we will be filled. Father, thank you for your word. It is indeed meat and drink for us. I pray, Father, that as we study this morning, that your Holy Spirit would teach us the things that we need to know. Holy Spirit, would you just broadcast to the church, us, the living church, the local church today, what it is that you would have us to know. And knowing those things, that we would walk out of this building fully equipped for every good work that you have ordained for our lives. This is our prayer today in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. The emptiness that you often experience in your spiritual life, and we all have this emptiness, all right? We go through these dry areas, is in many ways a direct reflection on your spiritual appetite. How hungry are you for spiritual things? The hungrier you are in the natural, the more you will eat. In the spiritual, same thing is true. The hungrier you are for God, the more you partake of spiritual things that will fatten you up. If Ruth Chris Steakhouse has the best steaks in the planet, which they probably do, those of you who have been there, fasting is a Ruth Chris spiritual steak. It's good, it's filled with flavor, and it'll fill you up. Fasting is not fasting to change the way God feels about you. There's nothing you can do to make God love you anymore. There's nothing you can do to make God love you any less, okay? That's what Calvary was all about. But fasting changes you. And that's what it's all about. It's bringing you into focus. I don't know if you all remember, way back many years ago, we put the Hubble telescope up in the planet around the Earth, and it was spinning around. And when they turned it on, they finally got it aimed the way they wanted. They turned it on, it was all fuzzy. It was out of focus. The mirrors that they put in, believe it or not, was the wrong mirror. It wasn't polished the way it should have been. So you had to, anything that Hubble saw was fuzzy. Well, that's the way our vision is sometimes spiritually. It's fuzzy. It's not that we can't see and not that we don't know. We know the scriptures. We know God. But we get fuzzy. The world gets us fuzzy. Too much news, too much bad events in life, and it drains us of the sharpness. Now, what we did is we got a new mirror, put some guys on a rocket, sent them up there about a year later. They put the new mirror in. And when the Hubble was in focus, you've seen some of the pictures. They're absolutely breathtaking. The same thing happens spiritually when you fast. When you get into focus, some of the things that you haven't been seeing clearly begin to come in focus. And it's absolutely amazing. You begin to hear the voice of God. You know, I hear people tell me all the time, well, I've never heard the voice of God. And I'm saying, why not? I mean, why haven't you heard the voice of God? He said, my sheep would know my voice, that they would hear. So we should be hearing. If you're not hearing, there's something wrong. Maybe your hearing's not tuned in. Fasting helps you hear from God. It makes you more sensitive to what God has to say. The two words that really impressed me in what the scripture that we just read talks about hunger and thirst. Hunger in the natural is a signal. It's a basic signal from your body. Your stomach does it all the time, sometimes when you don't want it to. I mean, you ever been in a dentist chair? You know, when they're working on you and your stomach starts growling, you know, or you're someplace that's very serious, and you're talking to someone, and that noise comes from somewhere, your body's saying, I'm hungry, give me something to eat. During the fast, you'll probably hear that a lot. So when you hear that, start asking God to let you hear him to overshadow that sound. Thirst in the natural is a signal from your body that you're in danger. You can get along pretty well without food, all right? I mean, you can do that. But water is necessary. And if you don't get enough water, you'll dehydrate and you'll die very quickly. So it's a danger thing. So when Scripture says that we should hunger and thirst after God, it's saying that we have an appetite, a natural spiritual appetite to be closer to God, to know more about God, and that when we're thirsty from God, as the Scripture in Psalms, it says, as a deer pants after the water brook, so my soul longs after you. If you're thirsting for God, it's a danger signal that you're thirsting because you're not filled enough with his presence. If you're having a good relationship with the Lord, if you're hearing from him, if you feel that closeness, you won't be thirsting for him because you'll be refreshed with that living water. Jesus said that he would give us living water and that we would never thirst again. But we find ourselves in the spiritual realm being hungry and thirsty for God. Now, if you're not physically hungry, there's two things that are going on. One is you're full and you're hydrated. You've had plenty of liquids and you've had plenty of food, so you're not hungry. Or if you're sick, when you get sick, and Sherry knows, she's a nurse, and those of you who have been through medical procedures, you get sick, you don't want to eat. I mean, sometimes they have to force feed you to eat. I remember I had surgery several years ago, and man, I didn't want to have anything to eat. But they kept saying, you need food. And, you know, I felt like I was back home with my mother when I was a little child. My wife and my daughter would say, eat, Daddy, eat, eat, eat. You know, they were trying to shove food at me, and I didn't want it because I was sick. Well, the same thing happens to us spiritually, all right? We're not hungry and thirsty if we're full and hydrated with spiritual things or if we're spiritually sick. And we all get spiritually sick sometimes. Now, I'm not talking about losing your salvation or anything like that. I'm talking about how we get out of focus. We're just not well. Life has crashed in on us. Our expectations from God weren't met. We prayed and something didn't happen the way we thought that it should. And all these things drain us, all right? So fasting will help make us well. It'll be part of our healing. So it's a good thing for us to do. Now, if we're not fully aware of the presence of God, we will hunger for him. Just as your physical body will hunger, your spiritual man will hunger for God. How many times have you said this, or maybe you've heard other people say it, I'd just like to get closer to God. I'd just like to get closer to him. Well, let me give you a dose of reality. God hadn't moved in either of you. It's not that you're separated. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. So it's not that it's a nearness thing. It's an awareness thing. To be aware. To know that God is with you. And to get that relationship stirred up. So I want to talk this morning about the benefits of fasting. Okay? First of all, come on, little thing. You can work. There we go. No, now I really got it messed up. Jim, help me. I don't know what's happening here. There we go. Fasting expands your time with God. Matthew 7:7-8. And I'm using several different translations because I like the way they say it. This is the New Living Translation. It says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Okay? One of the things that you'll be aware of when you fast is time slows down. I'm telling you. You will have your veggies at lunch, and 15 minutes later, say, gee, it's only been 15 minutes since I ate. Because you're already thinking about something else. All right? You want something else. You want some protein and you didn't get enough of it. In time, everything kind of slows down. So you're going to have an expanded day. How many times have you wanted to have more hours in a day? This is it. You will have more hours in a day. You'll look at the clock 1,000 times. Can I finally go to bed? You'll find yourself going to bed at 8 o'clock. Well, you're normally up to 11. Just to get it, you know, just get to bed, you know. So time is going to have it's going to be a little bit different. And it's going to slow down because of the fasting, and that it should increase your prayer. Okay, let me be practical for you. This is the way it works. Here you are. It's not going to bother you much today. You're going to get through this. Doubt now will be on. You can watch it. You're going to be all right? But tomorrow, you know, you'll become more aware of it. When you feel hungry, pray. That's the key. That's the little signal. It's a little spark that'll ignite. So when you feel hungry, that's where you want to pray. That's why it's fasting and praying. All right? So when you feel a hunger, pray, you say, Lord, thank you that I'm drawing nearer to you in my spirit, that I'm becoming more aware of you. And use that as an opportunity to pray. Don't use it as an opportunity to say, man, I'm going to go look in the refrigerator and see if there's anything in there. You know, do yourself a favor, go home today, just clean it up. Just throw it away, if you know, give it away, do something. But don't leave all this candy and stuff you got leftovers from Christmas. Don't leave that around. All right, that is poison to you during the fast. Just put it away. I've got some stuff. We're going to have to lock it up. All right, put it on the lock and key. But whenever you feel that hunger pain, that's the signal for you. It's a signal for you to eat up some spiritual food. And you eat a spirit, go sit down and read your scriptures if you can. If you have some memorized, repeat them to yourself. If you have a diary, sit down for a moment and write something. But use those opportunities to get your spiritual person going. So it's not just about denying yourself food. It's about giving yourself spiritual input. All right? Got that? So that's a very practical thing. Seek God not because he's hiding. He's not hiding away from you. He wants to reveal himself to you. But our senses are dull. They just need to be cleaned up a little bit. Need to be polished a little bit. Fasting purges our senses of worldly hunger. We're all guilty of this. This thing called the flesh that we all carry around has appetites. And it's not only physical appetites, it's mental appetites. It wants to be satisfied. It has a craving. And when those cravings come, and it's not that they're bad in and of themselves, but they tend to dull our satisfaction in God. We want things of the world. You know, it's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We want those things. So what we're going to do during the fast is those things are going to go down, and our spiritual appetite is going to increase. That's the whole point of it. So that we sharpen ourselves, we polish ourselves up spiritually, and we can see and we can sense and we can feel things that you're not normally going to experience. Each hunger pain makes us aware of the presence of God. When you feel hungry, that's the Holy Spirit using your flesh to remind you of your love of God and your desire to get closer to him. A great example of this, you see, in the story of Lazarus. Remember old Laz? That's got to be the most disappointed guy on the planet, by the way, who ever lived. Here he is, died. He's in the presence of God. Jesus stands outside the tomb and says, Lazarus, come forth. I can hear him in there. I don't want to go. You know, but he did, and he came forth. You remember his two sisters, Mary and Martha. Mary was interested in her spiritual well-being. She was with Jesus. She was spending time with him. Martha, on the other hand, was making preparations for the flesh. She was taking care of the food. Now, that's not bad. People needed to eat. People there for the funeral. Nothing wrong with what she was doing. But when she realized she needed some help, and she went to see Jesus, and she said, hey, Hell, Mary, get in here, give me a hand. I need some help with the dishes. I need some help with the food. I need some help in preparation. And Jesus says the most remarkable thing. He says that Mary has chosen a better thing, something better. And he was saying that although we have physical things that are necessary, that sometimes it's better to spend time with the Lord. Now, in a very practical way, you can't do that all the time. If you're fasting and praying all day and you're not doing some of the things that need to be done, then nothing's going to get done. I mean, we'd have there are things that need to be done. If you have children, they need to be fed. So even though you may not be eating anything, spending time preparing for those children is a good thing. Okay? Got that? So that's a great example of that. The fast for an extended period of time, we do this for an extended period of time because it takes time for us to slow down. Part of my testimony, part of my life is that I did quite a bit of work in the Apollo program, sending men to the moon. I was involved in that for some time. And now they have the new program, I mentioned to you several months ago, the Orion, which is going to attempt to go back to the moon and hopefully on to Mars. I don't plan on making that trip, but in case you want to go, you can go buy a ticket. But one of the things that the Orion has, the same thing that the Apollo had, is a heat shield. And the heat shield is designed as the spacecraft comes back into the atmosphere and begins to hit the air that surrounds the Earth, that it causes a lot of friction. And so the heat shield slows it down and dissipates. It kind of peels off. It kind of melts away as it's hitting the atmosphere to keep the capsule from burning up. I mean, that's its whole thing. So the same thing has happened to us in a spiritual sense. We're kind of heated up from the living in the world, and we need to slow down. And we slow down, and it's some of this earthly stuff begins to peel away from us, you know. And it just takes 21 days. You could fast for a day. There's nothing wrong with that. I've done daily fast. You can fast a meal, and I've done that. You can fast for 3 days, and I've done that. But an extended period of time really takes you through some kind of a cycle. And the only way you'll know about it is if you experience it, all right? And you go through it. And after about, okay, and I'm trying to give you spiritual and practical stuff all at the same time here this morning. For about 4 days, you're probably going to be somewhat miserable, all right? Because king's stomach, as Franklin Jensen calls it, wants to be king. All right, and you're saying, no, you're not king. So you're going to go through some stuff, you know, you might have a headache. Headaches won't kill you, they just make you feel bad, but you'll be all right. You can just do this. Stick with it for 4 days, and on the fifth day, you'll notice a change in your body. And at the fifth day, most of the discomfort that you're experiencing will go away. And it really helps you because then you can focus more on spiritual things and not worried about, well, I have a headache, I don't feel good, my stomach hurts, you know. That's going to go away. Your body's going to realize that you are not going to feed it. It's going to know. In fact, some people prefer to do this, and this is up to you. We have people in church who will fast with just water for 4 days. You know, water only. Just kind of just go through it and get their body really in tune for the Daniel fast where you're just eating soup and vegetables and stuff like that. So you just do whatever you feel comfortable with. I'm not saying you have to do that. But at the fifth day, you're going to start feeling better, all right? And when you start feeling better, you're going to be able to pray a little bit better. You're going to, you know, by the third week, you're going to feel really good, spiritually and physically. And by the time we get to day 21, you're going to be thinking, I don't want it to end. I'm telling you. Because you're going to be really in tune with the Lord. Now, every fast is different. I've learned that. Some fast, last year I had the best fast I ever had. No, not the best. It was the second best. Because the first one was the best for me. It was just really good. The year before that, it was miserable. I was miserable the whole time. You know, I just couldn't wait for it to get over. So it all depends on what's going on in your life and physiological things, you know. But by and large, by the third week, you are going to be crystal clear in your spiritual walk with the Lord. You're going to feel good about your relationship. You're not going to have this conversation with yourself. You're not going to say, oh man, you know, I need to pray more, because you will have been praying, all right? Now, you don't have to kneel down and pray for an hour, but just be in prayer all throughout the day, okay? Just be aware of prayer, so that's going to be good for you. Now, when it's all said and done, your ears will be attentive to the Lord. Your eyes will be seeing things clearly. Your spirit will be good. You will be fat in the spirit. Okay? So, the worldly things will begin to diminish as the spiritual things begin to rise up. Now, here's the promises of the scripture that we just said. The door will open. Now, during this fast, you can pray about certain things. You know, and I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But those doors will begin to open for you. You've got some doors that have been closed that need to be opened. Sometimes the only way you can get them open is through fasting and prayer. Okay? You will receive the answers to your prayers. God will begin to answer. Will every prayer be answered? I can't guarantee that, but I can guarantee you that you will have some prayers answered. The only reason I'm guaranteeing that, because that's what the scripture says, all right? Everyone who asks receives. And you'll find a better pathway for your life in the kingdom, all right? It says, everyone who seeks will find. If you're seeking God, you will find him. All right? Again, it's not that he's far away, it's just that he's out of focus. Got that? Everybody with me so far? Okay, rattle the BBs in your head so I know you're out there, okay? All right, here we go. The second thing, fasting expands your victories. This is 2 Chronicles. Alarmed, I don't even notice that word, alarmed, Jehoshaphat was alarmed. Alarmed, why was he alarmed? Because there was a problem. Things weren't right. There was something that needed help. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. So that's what you're going to do. You're going to inquire of the Lord. You're going to begin to speak to him. And he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. So alarming led to the proclamation of a fast. Now, there's a lot of things Jehoshaphat could have done, but he chose a spiritual avenue. And we need to choose a spiritual avenue. If you haven't figured it out yet, you are not able to solve all of your life's problems. You have tried, haven't you? And it hadn't worked. This will help you get those life's problems back in focus and solve. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. They had enough good sense to do that. They came together to seek help from the Lord. Now, this word together. There's a school of thought, and it's a good school. You know, when you're fasting, don't tell anybody about it. You know, just a private thing, just between you and God. And I'm all in favor of that. But there's also a time for corporate fasting when you do it together. We're doing this together. We're not hiding and doing it in a private way, but we're collectively doing it, right? So they came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Now, that was verses 3 and 4. Now, further down the chapter, verses 29 and 30, the fear of the Lord came upon all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for God had given him rest on every side. So what had happened? He was alarmed. He went to the Lord. He called the people of Judah together. They prayed, and they received the victory. And even their enemies heard about it. The fear of God came upon all the kings of the country when they heard how God had fought against the enemies of Israel. Who's fighting against you? Are you in spiritual battle? Whether it's physical, whether it's family, whether it's financial, or just whatever it may be, you feel harassed by the enemy? Fasting will break the power of the enemy in your life. It'll stop him dead in his tracks. Say, well, you know, Pastor, you don't need to fast to stop the enemy. Well, you know what? The disciples ran into a guy who was demon-possessed. They couldn't do anything about it. They went to Jesus and said, hey, Rabbi, we need some help. And he said something very important for you to hear today. He said, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. That's what it says, right? Prayer and fasting. So those are conjoined twins, if you will. And because they did that, Jehoshaphat was at peace. You need some peace? I know some of you need some peace. I mean, you're desperate for peace. This is a way to get it. Are there other ways? Yes, there are. But this is a surefire way. You're going to spend 21 days seeking God, praying, denying yourself, and the peace of God will show up to give you the victories that you need. For his God had given him rest on every side. Wow, what an important scripture. Giving him rest on every side. Without exception, well, I've looked through the scripture, every place I look, when God's people fasted and prayed, their prayers were answered and the victories came. Now that's a pretty good statement to make, all right? Every time they did that, serious situations require serious action, and fasting is a serious action. Now you might say, well, you know, Pastor, I'm really in good shape with the Lord. I'm hearing him clearly. Everything's really super. I don't feel any need to fast. You need to fast, because if you're doing that good, fasting is going to send you off on a rocket to Mars, all right? I mean, you're really going to get some things going. So it's a good thing to do. If there's sickness, when people were sick, they fasted and prayed, people got healed. All right? When there was sin trapped, people trapped in sin, unable to get out, when the power of sin was broken through fasting and prayer. When there was demonic activity, fasting calmed and caused the demons to leave. They can't stay in the presence of someone really in tune with God through fasting. When they needed directions about what to do, do you need some direction? You don't know where you're going? Do you need some help? Or what, should I do this? Should I buy a house? Should I buy a car? Should I move? Should I, you know, just a million things. Fasting will help you get the answer so that you'll have the direction that you need in your life. Now, those are just some of the things, and I could speak about a lot more of them, and I will in the next coming weeks, but for today, I think that's enough to get us started. I mean, we're talking about sickness, sin, demonic activity, and direction. That's a pretty good forum for us to pray about. Now, Jehoshaphat called for a fast. God gave him the victory. You know what's implied? If Jehoshaphat had not called for a fast, he would not have had the victory. Fasting is a hidden secret in the kingdom that's been covered up, particularly here in America, by the opulence in the lifestyles that we live. And we don't want to do it. Some of you are listening to me right now. Some of you are on the internet listening to me right now. You say, well, I don't need to fast. I don't need to fast. If you feel like you don't need to fast, you probably need to. All right? I mean, how many times I've had people say they didn't need something, and when they got it, you know, they said, oh, man, that's what I needed. I told you all the story about my dad. I kept telling him, said, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he kept telling me, I don't need that. I don't need that. Then he went and got baptized in the Holy Spirit. He called me on the phone in the middle of the night and said, man, I just got what I needed. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. If I could have reached out, I'd have hit him. And my own daddy, you know, told me that. So sometimes we need things, but we don't want to. Your stomach, your mind, your will is saying to you right now, but I don't need to do this. And the answer to that is true. You don't need to do this. You don't need to. I mean, you can still be loved by God. You're still going to go to heaven. You're still going to have a good life. All the promises of God are still yes and amen in your life. But this will help you. And all of us need help one way, shape, form, or another, all right? So, this is being serious with God. I mean, this is serious stuff. I mean, people say, well, we need some meat of the word. You want some meat? This is T-bone steaks, honey. All right? This is really good stuff. It's something that we're going to do because we need it. Now, listen, I'm just as human as you are. Some of you don't think I am, but I am. Errol's the only one that's not really all human. I don't know. E.T. over there. I'm not sure about him. Probably Joe. But, you know, I don't want to do this any more than anybody else wants to do it in the natural. I mean, we had a leftover king cake at the house, and that someone had brought David, somebody gave it as a gift. It was a candy cane, king cane. I've been eating that thing every night. And last night I had a piece about that big. I said, well, I got to get rid of it, you know. So, and I'm thinking, you know. And there's a piece left, and I knew that after lunch today I wouldn't be able to get to eat it. And my mind is saying this. It tells you how demented we all are. You know what my mind said? Well, nobody will know I could eat that last piece when I get home. Y'all wouldn't know. You know, and it's there. It's waiting for me. I can hear it. Sugar's on top, you know, and all the little sprinkles and the king cake. I mean, it's there. It's waiting for me. And tonight when I'm watching Downton Abbey, it's going to want me even all the more, you know. It's there. And it's just going to rot and turn green and get moldy. And, you know, so, man, just, oh, man, it's there. Put it in the freezer for me. But you know, so it's not like I'm standing up here saying, oh, well, I got it all together. And I'm going through the same thing you are. And here's another thing. Some folks are thinking this already. Well, you know, I don't have to give up food. I can give up TV. Because, you know, I'm kind of sick. You know, and it really wouldn't do me any good, you know, to fast. Because I'm sure my doctor wouldn't. You know what? I never tell my... Don't take my bad advice, you know. But I don't ask my doctor about spiritual things. Because if I told the doctor I was going to go on a 21-day fast, he would have said, not in your life. You're not going to do that. You know, you need to take this medication with food. You need to, you know. So I didn't ask him. So I just went, after the fast was over, I had a doctor's appointment. I said, is it okay with me? Would it hurt me if I fasted for 21 days? And he said, I don't think so. I said, good, because I just did it. You know, Yeah, but, you know, if you've got a serious medical problem, you know, talk to the doctor. Don't listen to my advice. And just that, when it comes to spiritual things, I'm halfway decent about things. When it comes to physical stuff, don't listen to me at all right? So, but it's really being serious with God and with yourself. Fasting will not twist God's arm, but it improves your intercession and implores Him to intercede in your situation. Okay? Now, this is very interesting. Jensen Franklin writes about this in his book quite extensively. And I never thought about it. The devil always uses food to tempt us. He always uses food to tempt us. Adam and Eve, what was the first thing? Eat! I never thought about that. You know, food was there. What about Jacob and his inheritance? A bowl of porridge, you know, or whatever that soup or whatever it was that he had. For his inheritance, you know, just trading off food for something else. Israel in the wilderness, what did they complain about? Food and water. We need more food and we need more water. So, you know, this goes on. And then Jesus shows up on the scene. What's the first thing the devil tempts him with? Take these stones and turn them to bread. Food, it's everywhere in the Bible. You know, the enemy uses food, he'll use it against you. Well, you know, and those of you that guess here today, you haven't been around, you don't know what all this is going on. You know, you're going to walk around and say, oh, well, yeah, I don't even go to that church. I don't have membership in that church. I don't have to follow that pastor. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. I'm sorry we came. Maybe there'll be another church we can go to next week where they're not doing that. We don't have to listen to it. I mean, that's the natural thing to do. But I've already poisoned your well. You may not come back here, but I hope the Holy Spirit just gets on your case. And you join in and fast. You don't have to come back here, but just go ahead and fast with the Lord. You know? It's going to be an awesome 21 days with the Lord. Okay? Now, moving on. Did I lose my place here? I sure did. I moved that up. There, it's where I want to be. Fasting enhances your daily well-being. Oh, this is good. Matthew 6:30-33, New Living Translation. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Y'all excuse me for just a minute. Hold on. All right, we're back on. Sound's back on. And if God's care so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Unbelievers. Oh my. But your Heavenly Father already knows of all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. And this is in brackets because I changed the translation a little bit because I believe it's a better translation with the NLT ad. It says, and live righteously, which I don't think is a good translation. So it says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and His righteousness. So seek God and His righteousness, and He will give you everything you need. So the unbelievers seek after food and drink, where we're looking for something else. Remember the woman at the well? You know, and she wanted water. And he said, lady, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask him of water, and it'd be living water. You'd never have to come back to the well again. So that's what God is offering to us as believers, this living water. Fasting is a catalyst for daily living that breaks down the walls that keep us from trusting God in our daily living. All fasts in the Bible brought rewards. They brought victories and they brought answers. The treasures of heaven await those who fast and pray. There are treasures in heaven waiting for you for that. Something happens to believers who follow the admonition of the Lord to pray. Let me put things in context for you. If you think it's not a good idea to fast, then you think it's not a good idea to pray. Because they're both the same. And if you don't think it's a good idea to give, then you don't believe in prayer and fasting either. All three of those things are together. When you fast, when you pray, and when you give. Now, why would that be in the Bible if it wasn't something we were supposed to be doing? And I know, and I've talked to people, other ministers, who don't believe in fasting. They said, well, we don't need to do that anymore. That was, for another time, for another place. I said, gee, that could be, but why did they say that we should do it? Why did Jesus say we should do it? You know, why is it listed in things in other books in the scriptures about fasting in the New Testament? So I believe that there is an admonition for us to do that. Overeating in America is evidence of the evil one's influence in our lives. Obesity, sickness caused by eating. I don't mind rubbing you further the wrong way, so let me rub you further the wrong way. I hear these things all the time. Well, we need to be careful what we eat because this stuff has got all kinds of bad stuff in it. You know, meat's got hormones in it. You know, they're putting all kinds of poison on the plants. And, you know, I hear all of this thing about what we're eating poisoning us. I don't think it's what we're eating so much. It's how much we're eating that's causing us problems. And not eating healthier foods. Now, I'm sure that stuff is bad. You know, I'm not discounting that. Some of the things that happen to our food are not good. The processed food is not good. But just eating less would be good for us. And as the doctor likes to say, exercising is good for you. You can fast and exercise. You'll have more time to exercise when you fast because you don't have to prepare as many food items, you know. You know, you won't have to worry about sitting down and eating so much. So you can exercise and fast all at the same time. So are we giving up our rewards by being like Jacob and trading the treasures of God, our inheritance, for the satisfaction of food? I mean, these are good questions that we all need to address. We should address them. We should think about it. You know that I would never ask this church to do something that I didn't think was good for us. Those of you who know me, you've been around me for a lot of years, you know that. I don't put a lot of pressure on you. I don't believe in that. I don't like to manipulate. I'm not a behavioral management, trying to change the way you do stuff. But some things are good for you. If the gospel of grace is good for you, this is part of the gospel of grace. Fasting and praying and giving are all good things for us, all right? So, are we living on spiritual bread and water? And fattening ourselves up on just food? Or should we decrease the amount of our food intake and increase our spiritual input? Your body's going to die. They're going to plant you one day. You're going back to dust. All right? That's the plan. But your spirit lives on forever. You're not going to be more saved, but your daily life, enhancing your daily life, it'll be better through fasting and prayer. After 21 days, you're going to be doing well. And what will happen is, people ask me this all the time, well, could we fast some more about something else? Could we fast about something? Some people in the church fast all the time about things. And that's a good thing to do, okay? But together, to do it collectively is going to be good. So give up pleasant foods for 21 days. And remember, this is not a total fast, unless you want it to be, okay? It's just giving up, and the list of things that I've given to you, you're just going to change your diet for a while. For some of you, this is good. Tommy, this is not a problem for you. You love to eat vegetables. For me, this is a real sacrifice. It's a difference between giving eggs and giving a ham, all right? One is a total commitment, the other is just a contribution. For you, it's not a problem. For me, I think if God wanted you to eat it, he'd have made it, given it legs. So that's the kind of food you should eat. But to grow it in the ground, I'm not so sure about that. All right. So fasting focuses your future vision. This is from the Message Translation. You're going to love this. When you practice some appetite-denying discipline to better concentrate on God, don't make a production out of it. It might turn you into a small-time celebrity, but it won't make you a saint. Is that cool or what? If you go into training inwardly, act normal outwardly. So don't go running around. It's all right to complain to me, all right? But don't go around to your friends and say, oh, I'm fasting, don't do that, in other words. Just kind of keep it among the brethren. Now, don't lie, but I mean, just shampoo and comb your hair. Brush your teeth. This is a good thing when you're fasting. Brush your teeth, all right? Wash your face. God doesn't require attention-getting devices. He won't overlook what you are doing. He'll reward you well. He'll reward you well. I just love the way that translation comes out. Fasting is not a badge of honor for others to admire, but it's an inward desire to change your future into a better future. To start each year with fasting and a time of reflection is good for your spirit. You don't have to do it, but let me tell you this, that through Jensen Franklin primarily, he's the catalyst of all of this, along with you, put things in focus for you, there will be millions of people fasting with you. So when you feel discouraged or you feel hungry, just remember you're not alone. There's going to be 30 or 40 right here in this church, in this community. There are several churches that are joining in with us, so there'll be several hundred right here. And around the nation, there'll be, last I heard, it was over 1 million people that are joining the Jensen Franklin call to fasting. So it's a lot of fasting going on. If you think America could use some fasting, this is a good opportunity to do it, all right? We're having some of the most wonderful things happen in our community that are just unbelievable. Our mayor, Mayor Drennan, is having his annual prayer breakfast on the 30th of this month, okay, here in Slidell. That's all part of this, you know. Not part of the fasting, but it's all part of what the movement of God. Our governor has called for a day of prayer and fasting on the 24th in Baton Rouge. All day, no preaching, just prayer and fasting. That's what it's all about. All right. So those two things are going on right here in the state of Louisiana. So it's a good opportunity for us to be fasting and praying, getting this year started. I don't know all that God has in store for us this year, but last year, man, some remarkable things have happened to us as a church body. In my own particular life, things that I would have never dreamed would have happened. This is the hour, this is the time, this is a good thing for us to do and get our focus for the future. What is this year going to look like for you? Talked about having expectations. This is a way to get your expectations stirred up. Listen to the Holy Spirit, what He would have to say to you. We can reflect on the past. Things that this past year, maybe things didn't work out the way you wanted them to do. It's a good opportunity to reflect on that. Maybe there's some bad habits in your life that you'd like to get rid of. This is a good time to reflect on that. I'm changing those things. Having a sense of expectation to seek God for our future. What would God have you to do this coming year? If you think nothing, you need to fast and pray. Because you're not around here. If you're here to do nothing, why is God keeping you here? Why don't He just take you home and get you out of here? We're here for a reason. We're saved by grace, but we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. There's some things that need to be done, and we can be doing those things. What would God have you stop doing? There's some things in your life that maybe you should stop. I don't know what they are, and I don't want to know. But you know, and there's an opportunity for you to work on these things. God cares about you, and I believe that at the end of this fast in 21 days, you will look back and be amazed at the change in your relationship to the Lord. It's going to be good for you, okay? So we're going to do this together. We're going to have a good time. We're going to encourage one another, and it's okay to come up to one of the people who are fasting and say, oh, I'm having a really great fast. Or say, I'm having a really terrible time with this. Would you pray for me? You know, pray. Ask one another to pray for you if you're having a hard time. And if you're having a good time, then maybe you can pray for somebody else. But at all said and done, we're doing something very, very spiritual. It's not for the faint-hearted. It's not for the unbelievers. But it is for us. God has called us to do this, okay? So this is going to be a good year. And next week, God willing, I want to talk about a purpose-driven life through fasting. All right? So that's going to be the plan for next week. So if you want to come back and hear some more, that's what it'll be. Okay? You're all full now? Be blessed, and Lord watch over you. Let His blessings fall upon you in such a measure that you won't be able to gather all the blessings at one time, and you'll have to call for others to come and help you carry them. That's the blessing for today and the rest of the year. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Thank you for being here.